And I was like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. It was just crazy. We looked at each other like, what?
Are we really ready for this moment? Like, we were so excited and like we knew it was gonna happen. But then in that moment of like, holy cow, like this is actually happening.
I took that onesie and I made a cute little sign that said, hi, daddy, I can't wait to meet you. And I put the positive test and I laid it all out on our dining room table. And then I sat for like 2 hours.
You've landed on the From Bumps to Birth podcast. I'm your host, Ricky Hamley. As a crazy mom of six and a diehard birth geek, I created this space for parents to come and share their unique journeys to parenthood. Whether it's been smooth sailing or bumps along the way, there's no journey alike. So help me in honoring these stories and sit back, relax, and let your inner birth geek indulge.
Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. Today we have a very special story. We have Andrea Reynolds with us and she's going to be sharing her adoption story as well as this story, I'm assuming birth story. We didn't confirm that. Was it birth story?
Yes.
Birth story of her twins who are one. So without further ado, Andrea, thank you so much for coming on today. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself and your family?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on to do this. I'm really excited about it. So my husband and I, we have been married for almost 15 years, and we adopted Donovan, our son, right around our 10-year anniversary. So it was kind of a long journey to get to having a child, which was something that we both really wanted, you know, all through our dating time and engagement and early marriage. You know, we talked about wanting kids and just kind of assumed that that would happen. And then I think it was about 3 years into our marriage, we, you know, hadn't gotten pregnant, and we started to think like, oh, maybe there's, you know, maybe there's something wrong. We should probably just go to the doctor and, you know, make sure that there's nothing weird or whatever. And so at that point I found out that I had polycystic ovary syndrome, and it wasn't a huge surprise to me because I had, you know, other symptoms throughout being a teenager and young adulthood and things like that, that made me kind of wonder about possible fertility things. But you just kind of never really think that it's going to happen. Like, you just kind of assume that when you decide you want to have a baby, that you'll be able to get pregnant and that'll be fine. And so it was a surprise, not a shock, but a surprise that we encountered. And then I think the biggest surprise was that, you know, we started doing fertility treatments and they just weren't working. And so that was another thing where, you know, we kind of thought, okay, well, we might have to, you know, get some extra help to get pregnant, but we'll definitely be able to, you know, it was like, it'll definitely work because, you know, that's just what happens. And so after several years of doing fertility treatments and just having it not work, we really kind of had to re-examine and rethink, like, how long are we wanting to do this? And, you know, what else is there for us at this time? And so it was about 2012. So I want to say, like, after about 3 years of fertility treatments, that I decided to go back to school to get a graduate degree in marriage and family therapy, which was something that I'd thought about doing when I was an undergrad, and then just kind of put on the back burner when I got married and decided that, you know, that we were going to try to start a family. And so that was an exciting time. And we decided to stop doing the fertility treatments, you know, during grad school. Cause I was like, I definitely don't want to add that complication to, you know, to my already busy schedule with grad school. And so I graduated, and the timing of it still is just so funny to me because it really was like, everything kind of fell into place for us with adopting our son. We had talked about adoption in the past, and neither of us we just hadn't really felt very good about it. Like, we kind of thought like, well, we're just not ready yet. Like, we're not ready to, you know, to take that step. We're not ready to go down that path. And, you know, it's just not something that we both feel good about at this time. And so pretty soon after I graduated, we were talking about starting the fertility treatments again, and, you know, kind of looking at where we were and checking in with each other, like how we were feeling about going through that process and starting again. And it was like less than 6 months. It was like 3 months or something after I graduated that I got a message from a girl that I went to high school with, and really, I mean, hadn't talked to her, I think, since we were in high school together. And so she actually sent me a message on Facebook, and I am like not a huge social media person. And so I totally ignored the message. Like, I just kind of brushed it off as like, oh, because it was a little bit vague. It was like, hey, there's something I want to talk to you about, and can you get in touch? And I was like, oh, I don't know. She's, you know, people are always reaching out to you after years, you know, on Facebook telling you about something exciting that they're doing or whatever. And so I was just like, oh, I'm just going to ignore that. And so I just didn't pay much attention to it. And then fortunately, thank goodness, she sent me a text message. She got my phone number and sent me a text. And she said, you know, I don't want to beat around the bush. Like, I just want to come out and say it, like, I'm pregnant. I don't know where you are or what's going on in your life, but I just wanted to throw it out there that, you know, if you've ever thought about adoption or are thinking about adoption and want to talk to me about it, that's something that I would be open to. And I was like totally shocked. I mean, it just absolutely knocked me off my feet. Like, I had no idea, and was just definitely a surprise. And I think one of the really cool things about it was that when it happened, you know, after I kind of was like, oh my gosh, like, wow. And then I went and talked to my husband about it, and I was like, can you believe this? Like, oh my gosh, what do you think about this? And both of us were just really surprised at how different we felt about the possibility of adoption than we had in the past. So in the past, you know, we kind of just had felt unsettled about it and just like nervous or unsure and just not really ready to dive in. And it was like a total 180 with this with this girl contacting me. And when we talked about it, like, we were just so surprised at how good we felt about it. Like, both of us felt really good about it and really like strong feelings of like, yeah, this is something that we want to do. And so we jumped in and started this process, and it was a whirlwind of a process. I mean, you know, we had done very, you know, very minimal sort of classes and education about the adoption process in the past, but it had been from more of like a foster parent perspective. And so we didn't really know a lot about how a private adoption worked. And so, you know, the first thing we did was kind of try to find an attorney that worked with adoption cases and things that could kind of help us along. And so then we started the process, and it's an intense process. Like, it's a pretty demanding and invasive process for adoption. You know, you kind of have to just open your life up and let all of the information and everything about you and your life and your family and your relationship and everything out into the open. So we had, you know, meetings with social workers. We had a home visit where they came and, you know, inspected the house to make sure it was safe. And we had to do, you know, these really extensive questionnaires about us and our family histories, health histories, you know, mental health, physical health, social systems, support systems, education. I mean, just everything you can think of was in these questionnaires. And then let's see, we had to do references, like letters of reference from people who were not family members, you know, so friends were okay. And so we were able to have a couple of good friends write, you know, letters saying basically that they thought we would be good parents and that we, you know, would be able to take care of a child. And then, you know, we had all the legal stuff to go through, which, is complicated. And so we were really fortunate to have a lawyer here in Washington State that was very knowledgeable and very helpful with the whole process. She was great to work with, and you could tell that she really had like a passion for adoption work. She'd been doing it for a really long time, and she was extremely helpful. And so we had her, we had the lawyer for us in Washington, and then we also had the attorney for the birth mom who was in another state. And so so it was kind of interesting working with, you know, two different attorneys and coordinating all of those things and kind of just trusting them with the process because they're, you know, that's their area of expertise. And we definitely, you know, didn't know what we were doing with all of the legal stuff that we had to do. But let's see, it was about October, I think, that
did that little notification come through in the sound?
It kind of made you go.
I'll back up a little bit.
Hang on 1 second. You, whatever happened made you kind of go far away.
Oh no.
Now you can, okay. Maybe you're back. Say something.
Okay. Can you hear me better now?
It still kind of went back for some reason. Like it's not terrible. It just isn't as clear as it was. Like, it just sounds like you're back just a little bit. So it's okay. Just go ahead and start. Go ahead.
Can I like restart, like leave the recording and restart again? Or will that totally mess things up?
You know, we could do it in two. That it wouldn't be make it. I'll just have to resend you the link to hop on again.
Okay.
So,
shoot, I'm so sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
Let me try one more thing before we do that. Change that, and then I've had that happen once before
where I was on a call with somebody.
There you are.
Am I back now?
Yep.
Okay, good. Excellent. Okay, good. Yeah, I had that happen once before where I was doing like a telehealth call and something happened where somebody tried to call and it like kicked it to voicemail, but then it sounded like it was like on speakerphone, but being held super far away.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what it sounded like. So just go ahead and restart, go back just a little bit. That way I can just find a transition point to edit that part.
Okay. So I think I was just talking about the timeline of things. And so I think it was around October that the birth mom first reached out to us, like probably end of October. And then she was due for the baby to be born in April. So we had about 6 months and it just felt like it was quick. Like it felt really fast getting everything taken care of that we needed to. You know, we had this big checklist of all of these things that we had to do from the questionnaires to, you know, like financial documents and credit reports and background checks and like the family interviews and all of these things. And so for about 6 months, well, I mean, it was less than 6 months that we were doing all of this stuff. So for 4 or 5 months, it was really just a whirlwind of all of these requirements and things that we had to do. And it was another sort of interesting, definitely a blessing and kind of a coincidence with my husband's work, where he was working at the time. They had actually just added a benefit that coming January. So like after we had talked about the adoption, that 2016, they added a benefit with his work where they would subsidize some of the costs for the adoption, which was a huge help for us because adoption was it's pretty expensive for private adoptions, definitely more so than I think most people realize. And so we were just absolutely relieved that, you know, that was a concern for us, was how we were going to cover the cost for the adoption. And so then it was like this like little miracle, like came from nowhere and was like, oh, by the way, we're adding this benefit for the next year where we're gonna, you know, cover so much of the cost of an adoption. And so we were just like so grateful and so floored that that was an option for us. And so then we were able to take advantage of that, which was just amazing. And I think it was a couple months into the process, the birth mom, she had put me in touch with her midwife, and she told me about something that I had never heard of before, and it was inducing lactation. So I guess there's, I mean, I ended up doing this. So there's medications that you can take, like following a protocol, that will actually cause you to lactate, like as if you had a baby, even though like I had never been pregnant. I had never, you know, never breastfed or anything like that. But I followed this protocol, and, you know, it's uncommon to be able to produce like a full, you know, exclusively breastfeeding supply of milk. But, you know, I was able to produce like actual breast milk, and it was pretty amazing. And I, you know, I would go to see lactation consultants, you know, to kind of help out with the process and give me tips for how to like increase production and things like that, and figure out how to use the pump and all of that stuff. And they were always just like floored. They're just like, so you've never been pregnant? I was like, no, I have never been pregnant. And they're like, but you are pumping, like you are pumping breast milk. I'm like, yeah, I am pumping breast milk, and I have never been pregnant. It's crazy, but it was so awesome. And so I was able to do that. And so that was a big part of preparing for the adoption, because you start before the baby's born so that you've built up as much of a supply as you can, you know, until the baby comes. And then when the baby actually starts nursing, then that's supposed to help too. And so it was really, you know, it kind of took over everything in our lives for about 6 months. I mean, in a good way, we were definitely really excited. But it was a really busy and unique time for us. It was very unexpected, but really amazing. And so as we got closer to the due date, so the birth mom, as I mentioned, she lived in a different state. And so we were figuring out the logistics of how we would, you know, go to this other state for the birth. And then because it was a cross-state adoption, there was extra requirements and sort of legal hoops that we had to jump through as far as, you know, making sure that we could actually take the baby across state lines and things like that. And so as I got closer, I was really, really lucky. My mom was able to come with me and stay, you know, just kind of stay in a hotel nearby for a little while before our son was born. And then we had to stay for about a week, I think it was, before we were able to actually to leave and go back to our state, Washington. And so we were just like living in this little, you know, in this hotel waiting for this baby to be born. And it was just like, oh, it was so incredible. I mean, the birth mom, she is just amazing. Like, you could not ask for a better birth mom, like a better experience with a birth mom. She was incredible. She was like, she let us be on video calls for her ultrasound appointments so we could see, you know, see the baby's heartbeat and see as he was growing, and, you know, her doctor's appointments, we were able to video call in for those. And she actually had us like record ourselves reading books and singing songs. And so she would play those during like her third trimester. She would play those for the baby. And I mean, she was just absolutely incredible. And we were just like amazed at how amazing she was, you know. And because I can't even imagine going through that process, you know. I just, my mind cannot wrap around the idea of going through this process from the other side, you know, as the birth parent, as opposed to the adoptive parent. And my heart just like, I'm in awe constantly of her, and how just selfless and full of love and caring that she is. She just made everything a lot easier for us, which, you know, which is so funny because she definitely had the much, much harder job of being the birth mom. And I just can't even imagine going through that process. And so we just feel extremely lucky that that she reached out to us. You know, I still am just like, it just feels like we won the lottery, you know, like for having her thinking of us and reaching out to us and kind of starting us on this journey. And so we actually got to be there for the birth. You know, my husband flew out, I think a couple days before her due date, or I think it was actually the day that she was being induced. And so he came out a couple days before. And so we were able to be in the hospital, and the hospital where she delivered was very, very accommodating for adoptive families. I think that they have programs for sort of like non-traditional birth experiences at that hospital. And so like we had a room there where I could have, you know, all of my pumping stuff, and the midwife, you know, was there to kind of answer questions about the inducing the lactation and me getting ready for that part of it. And they were just extremely accommodating and knowledgeable about the process, you know, of coordinating, like letting us be in the room and, you know, being a part of the birth experience, which was just incredible. I mean, I still remember, like, I can't even talk about it without getting emotional because it was just so amazing. And the birth mom, she was just like, just this amazing birth warrior person. Like, she just, everything was just smooth and beautiful. I just remember just being in awe, and the doctors, you know, let me catch him, like, so they had me, you know, like scrub up and put the gloves on and everything and get ready, you know, when he was about to be delivered. And so I just always say, I'm like, my hands were the first hands to touch him when he came into the world, you know. And I just, it was such a special experience for us. And we just were absolutely just in love immediately. Like, I just remember, you know, I caught him, and then I was a little bit like, okay, now what do we do? You know? And so, I'm pretty sure if I'm remembering right, which I think I am, but just to make sure. So then I think my husband got to cut the cord, and then I just got to snuggle him and do skin to skin with him right away. And I just remember, like, he came out and he was still in this, like, the sack, the amniotic sack. And when he came out and they, you know, took the sack off and kind of cleaned him off, and he was just like wide eyed and looking around at the world. And I mean, this is all kind of going through the lens of my memories, but from what I remember, like, he didn't really cry or scream or anything. Like, he just kind of came out and was just like wide-eyed, like, oh, hi, everyone. And he just like snuggled right into my chest. And I just remember just sobbing, like my heart was just absolutely bursting with this like tiny baby that we just felt like was meant to come to our family. And we just had no idea that he was coming, you know, until we heard from this girl that I hadn't talked to, you know, in like a decade. And so we stayed in the hospital for a little while longer. And again, you know, the birth mom, she pumped colostrum for the baby. And so the nurses would bring up, you know, little syringes of the colostrum for him. And, you know, she was just absolutely so strong and incredible. And so we were in the hospital for a short time. And then we just took him, you know, took him back to our hotel room. and stayed there for about a week until we got all of the paperwork and everything cleared to let us take him home. And I just remember going home, and as he, as he got bigger, and, you know, the way that everybody in my family just instantly, you know, was just smitten by him. Like, he was just, he was just a perfect little baby. he was just gorgeous. You know, he was just this gorgeous, beautiful, like, everybody that looked at him was like, oh my gosh, he's just like the perfect picture of a baby. Like, he just had beautiful features and these just big, bright blue eyes. And he was just so, so gorgeous and just such a sweet, good, like, awesome baby. We were so spoiled. You know, we just, you know, my husband got to take some paternity leave with the job that he was working as well. And so we were both able to kind of take that time for early bonding. And it was so fast with how quickly we were able to bond with him. And I think a big part of that was the experience that we had with the birth mom, and then also being able to be there and, you know, be with him essentially from the moment that he was born. And, you know, gosh, he was just incredible. He was just perfect. And I just remember being so blown away by just the fact that I was able to breastfeed him. You know, I still had to supplement with, at first with the milk that I pumped up until that point, and then later with formula. But I was able to breastfeed him, you know, at least to some extent for about the first 6 months after he was born. And that still is just incredible to me. It's crazy that bodies are able to do that, you know, and that there's been enough science or medicine and everything to figure out how to make that happen is still just pretty mind-blowing to me. But yeah, just everything about our experience felt so right and so meant to be that it's still to this day. I mean, I just feel like he was just meant to be our son. You know, we see things in him where we kind of smile and say like, oh my gosh, like he does this like you do, or he does this like I do, or like your dad, or like my mom. And then the other cool thing is that, so he has a biological brother who's, I think about, I want to say like 14 months older than him, who lives with birth mom. And so we're still able to be in touch and do phone calls and occasional visits and things like that. And so they're so cute. Whenever we see them together, they're just like little buddies. And, you know, they both know that they're brothers, and so they will play together, and they have, you know, their cute little friendship. And they, you know, it's fun to look at baby pictures of the older boy and see how much they look alike. And, you know, every once in a while I'll be, you know, talking with birth mom and saying something about something he's done or a part of his personality that is just like matches up so well with her son that lives with her. And it's a really cool experience that we've had. And I feel so fortunate because, you know, not every adoption story works out that well. And I just feel like ours was kind of perfect. You know, we had so many wonderful parts to it, and so much of it has been such a positive experience that we just feel really lucky that we were able to grow our family that way, in a way that was really unexpected. And, you know, I still think about, you know, I'm just like so grateful that the birth mom persisted and sent me that text message. 'Cause I think about like, oh my goodness, like when I first just kind of ignored that Facebook message, if she hadn't continued to reach out and this never happened, like, I just can't even imagine our life without him now. You know, he's so much, so integral to our life and our family that I'm just so glad that she persisted. And I just really feel like, you know, it was just meant to be. So it was an absolutely incredible experience, and we're so blessed and happy that we were able to have that great experience with him and with the whole, I mean, the whole birth and everything that went into it. And so it's been, you know, it's been interesting since then. When he was about, I don't know, about two or so, we decided that we wanted to start doing fertility treatments again to try to have another baby. And, you know, it was interesting to feel again, like we kind of talked about, like, well, should we look at doing adoption again, maybe, you know, and again, like we both just kind of had that feeling like, I don't know. I don't really feel like that's the right path for us, which was so interesting because we had felt, you know, so strongly about, you know, this is what we should do. And this is the path for us when it was, our son Donovan. And then it was just different again. So we did fertility treatments and had a lot of heartbreak with that. You know, we still just weren't able to get pregnant. And we did three rounds of IVF. And from that we had, I want to say like a total of five embryos, I think. And so one of them didn't take, so, you know, didn't implant essentially. And then one of them did, but we had a miscarriage. And then one of them actually, some of them were frozen throughout the process. And one of them, when they thawed it, they said it basically didn't make it through the thawing process and still be viable. And so that was the day that I was supposed to go in for the embryo transfer. They called me, I think probably 10 minutes or no, half an hour before I was supposed to leave to go to the clinic for the transfer. They called and said, you know, we had this embryo, and they kind of have this grading system for embryos, which, you know, some, I don't know how many people are familiar with it. I definitely wasn't before we went through all of this, but so when they have embryos, they grade them like good, fair, and poor, based on like, I don't know, all these different markers for what makes a viable embryo. It's all very, you know, very scientific and everything. But so they called me, and we had, this was our last good embryo. And then we had two fair embryos left after this good one. And we transferred, you know, two or three other good ones. I'm getting my numbers all mixed up, but essentially all of the good ones that we had, it sounds weird to say that, but like the good, you know, grade embryos that we had transferred had either not implanted, or we had the one that did implant, but then that we lost. And so we were kind of like, okay, this is our, you know, our last like better quality one. And so they called me and said, you know, unfortunately we just thawed it, and it's not, it didn't survive the thawing process essentially. And so I was just like, okay, what do we do now? Like, I was just so devastated. And I remember the doctor saying, you know, so we still have the two fair ones, and you can either say, you know, like basically cancel the cycle, so like do no embryo transfer today, which I didn't want to do, because going through the process to get up to the transfer is like a very very lengthy and scheduled and precise and measured process. Like, and expensive. You know, you have to go through this whole medication regimen and everything to get ready for the embryo transfer. It's like, well, I don't want to cancel and just, you know, basically write off this month and try again next month. So then he's like, okay, so you can either put in one of the fair quality embryos or both. And I was like, okay, well, what, you know, what should I do basically? Because, you know, with having all of the good one, the good quality ones essentially fail or miscarry, you know, we kind of felt like the probabilities or the odds were not very favorable to us. And then these were our last two. And so I was like, okay, well, you know, let me call my husband, you know, cause he was at work. I was like, let me call my husband and at least let me talk to him and see what he thinks. And so the doctor said like, okay, well, I'll call you back in 10 minutes. And then, you know, and then I've got to go into this other procedure or whatever. And so I was like, oh my gosh, like I have 10 minutes to make this decision. And so I was like frantically calling my husband and seeing what he wanted to do and calling my mom, you know, getting her opinion, calling our doctor and seeing what she said. You know, it was just like, oh my gosh, it was the most frantic and scary 10 minutes of my life. You know, it's just like, oh, what do we do? And so, you know, after talking to my doctor and she kind of recommended that we transfer both just based on the, you know, the probabilities, you know, due to our past experiences and all of our other variables. And my husband, you know, said he kind of felt similar, like we should probably do both, kind of as like, all right, this is kind of our last, you know, last ditch effort here. And hopefully one of them will take, you know, we kind of had low expectations, but hoped that one would implant. And so I went in and we did the procedure, and then, you know, we have to go through that. Like, it's like the 2 week wait where you have to wait 2 weeks before you take a pregnancy test or can confirm the pregnancy. And it's like the longest 2 weeks of your life. You're just waiting and, you know, like obsessing over everything you feel or everything, you know, every cramp or gas bubble or anything, you know, you're just like so focused on your body and trying to, you know, cross your fingers and hope that it works out. And so I went in for my ultrasound because all of like my blood draws had been positive. And so when I got the blood draw and it confirmed pregnancy with based on the amount of hormones in my blood. And so I was like, oh my goodness, we're pregnant, you know? And so we kind of were like, okay, you know, we're trying not to get our hopes up because we went through this miscarriage before. And, you know, and so we kind of had, you know, these little milestones where we're like, okay, we made it to this week before. And so first we got to get past that week. And then, you know, then this week, the odds go down by such a percent or whatever, you know? So we had like all of these little milestones that we were just trying to get past. And so I went in for that first ultrasound and they told me that both of the embryos had implanted and we were having twins. And I just like died. Like I could not believe it. And I was so shocked. Like I had thought that the chances were so low. You know, I mean, I think the doctor had told us when he called, he said, you know, if you implant two, he's like, everything's about a 30% chance. You know, it's a 30% chance that neither will implant, 30% chance that one will, and 30% chance that both will. And so that's like, you know, normal odds. And then adding in kind of our history and the difficulties and complications and variables with our circumstances, I really felt like the odds were significantly less than 30% that both would implant. You know, I was thinking like we'd be lucky if one of them did. And so to have both of them was just, oh my goodness, I just couldn't believe it. And so then I was like, oh wow, now what do we do? And so then we went through a twin pregnancy, which was really hard. And I had a really difficult pregnancy. I had like some cardiovascular issues where my heart rate was just super high all the time. Like I would be just sitting and it was at like 120, 130. And then I'd get up and, you know, walk across the room and it'd be like 140, 150. I've always had kind of a high heart rate. It kind of runs in my family a little bit, but with the pregnancy, it just really shot up super high. And so, I just remember being like, okay, like I was just exhausted all the time. And twin pregnancies are just really hard. I had no idea how difficult twin pregnancies could be. And so at around 13, I think it was like 13 weeks or so, I started bleeding. And I just lost it. Like, I was like, oh, this, we're going to miscarry again. I just can't believe this. This is happening. And I just remember being so, so heartbroken and going to the emergency room and waiting and waiting and waiting in the ER for them to, you know, finally call me and do the ultrasound. And I just remember staring at that ultrasound screen and then seeing the babies in there and still moving. And I was just like, oh my gosh, they're still in there. I can't even believe that. And so the technician, you know, he was like, you know, as far as we can tell, everything's fine. Like he ended up diagnosing me with like a subchorionic hemorrhage or something technical. I don't really remember, but the babies were fine. And so that was like one thing that happened was the scare early on about miscarrying. And then later on, I was, you know, worried that I had had some cramping. I was like, oh, I'm just nervous. And I was at like 24 weeks. And so I was like right at the point where they start having you go to the hospital for like triage, you know, to make sure that you're not going into labor. And they're like, everything looks fine. You know, you're doing just fine. Just go home and get some rest, take it easy. I'm like, oh, okay. And then a couple weeks later, I started feeling like crampy again. And oh, and with the time before, you know, they said everything's fine, but you do have like kidney stones and a UTI. And so it wasn't like, you know, nothing, like it wasn't like cramping for no reason. But, and so I was like, oh, it's probably just this again. And so I went in to the hospital to, you know, just to be safe. I was like, it's probably nothing. And in fact, I even waited because it was like a Saturday or a Sunday, I think, when I started feeling crampy and yucky again. And so I was like, well, it's a weekend and I don't want to go to the ER. So I'll just wait until Monday. And if it hasn't, you know, gone away by then I'll go into the clinic or the hospital. And so I went in and went to the triage unit, and then the nurse came in and, you know, ran a bunch of tests, and she was like, oh yeah, you're 2 centimeters dilated, you are not going anywhere. I was like, oh no. And I just remember being like, oh, it's way too early. Like I was at 26, 27 weeks and it was so early. And I was like, no. And so we're like doing all these things to try to, you know, stop labor. And it was just, oh, it was so scary and so, so stressful. You know, they do like a magnesium drip that just makes you feel terrible. And like, you have to stay in the hospital and do all of this monitoring. And oh, it was a rough, rough time. And so I was in the hospital, and then it was only about a week before I started going into labor again, and they couldn't stop it. And so my girls were born by C-section at 28 weeks. And I just remember being just so terrified because they were so tiny. And I had, you know, I had followed like a nutrition program specifically for twin pregnancies. And so, you know, even though they were tiny, they were big for their gestational age. You know, one of them was just over 3 pounds and one was just barely under 3 pounds, which is, I mean, it sounds so tiny, but for 28 weeks, that was like pretty good size. And so I remember like, you know, feeling like, okay, maybe they have a chance, you know, maybe they have a chance to make it. And the delivery was pretty rough for me. Just, I think, you know, because it was so early and I had had some complications with bleeding. And so it was a really scary experience, you know, kind of going through that, but I was just couldn't believe that they had come so early. And so then we had to do this long NICU stay. And so after I went home, you know, leaving the hospital without the babies was probably one of the weirdest, like, saddest things I've ever experienced. You know, I just remember being discharged from the hospital, and as, you know, as luck would have it, like, they had me walk out at the same time as another pregnant or maternity discharge. And so there was this girl that was basically leaving at the same time as me. So we were leaving together, and she was like walking, and she looked like, you know, like she had just maybe gone for like a brisk walk in the park. Like, she was just like, just totally fine walking around. She had her just cute little baby in her car seat, and, you know, was just like, looked totally put together. And I just felt like a mess. Like, I was just like, oh my gosh, like, I have no babies, and I'm leaving the hospital, and I'm still, you know, like, hurting from a C-section. And so I just remember feeling like so, just like, so sad and just uncertain about what was coming next. You know, I just never expected that would be my experience with birth. You know, it's just interesting how different both of my experiences with having kids have been so different from what I always had thought or expected. And so my girls were in the NICU for quite a long time. One of them was in there for 69 days, and the other was in there for 105 days. And it was, you know, it was a long, very emotionally difficult journey, you know. And the nurses in the NICU were phenomenal, absolutely amazing. And they kind of said, like, everybody who comes through the NICU, like, there's just, it's just such a roller coaster. You know, you go in one day and like, everything's great. And then you go in the next day and they're like, oh, they had, you know, a bad night or whatever. And so then you worry again, you know, are they going to be okay? And then you go in the next day and they're like, oh, everything's great again. You know, it's just very up and down, and very like, you can't plan on anything. You know, you just kind of have to roll with it and ride with it. And it's challenging. And so when we finally got to take them home, I just remember thinking, like, how interesting it was that, you know, our experience with adoption felt to me so much more like I felt connected, you know, to the baby. And I felt like I was, you know, I was his mom, he was my baby, you know, we had like that instant bond, that instant connection. Whereas with my girls, you know, I didn't even get to see them for the first like 27 hours or something of their life. Like, I didn't even get to see them or touch them or look at them. And then when I finally did get to see them, you know, I could, they were so tiny and so premature that basically, like, I was allowed to put one gloved hand like on their belly. And that was it, like that. And they were inside their little incubators. And so I was allowed to like reach in my hand that had a glove on it and just lay my hand very, very gently on them, you know. And it was just such a different experience to be so removed from caring for them and from, you know, all of sort of like the typical newborn and mom experiences, you know, because it was just so different. And so it still is interesting to me that, you know, the children that I actually gave birth to, it took me longer to sort of develop that, you know, that bond and that connection with them than it did with the son that we adopted. And it's just, you know, just kind of funny how those things work out. But, and now they're just over a year. Well, I guess technically they're almost a year and a half, but they kind of go by their corrected age, like what their age would be if they had been born on time or at their actual due date instead of so early. So they're, you know, they're like 14 months or so according to that. And they're doing great now. I mean, they're, you know, they're catching up with all of their growth and everything. And so, you know, again, we just feel so blessed and fortunate that, you know, like that they're both healthy and, you know, that things just took a lot longer, but we were able to, you know, take them home and they're home now and doing well. And it's just been, it's been kind of a crazy road for us to get to where we are with our family, and definitely one that we didn't expect, but it has been, it's been really, you know, it's been really great with having them home now. And Donovan, our son, he is just like the best big brother. He's so cute with them. You know, he just like, he just loves on them, and he's always like giving them hugs. And now they're getting a little bit older. And so they're starting to, you know, like go up to him and, you know, wrap their little arms around his neck and try to give him kisses, which is hilarious because they basically just like, you know, put their mouth on him, like, you know, like little babies do. And but he's just, he's the best big brother, and he just loves those little girlies, and they just adore him. They think he's so funny, like everything he does they just crack up and think he's hilarious. But yeah, so it's been, you know, it's been a very, very different experience for us than we expected, and such a contrast between the two birth events that, you know, it's always just kind of interesting to think on is how different it's been. But we're glad, you know, we're grateful for the kids that we have, and you know, we definitely feel like they were meant to be ours, you know, meant to be a part of our family. And so that's our story.
Well, I've had such a hard time, like, not having a smile on my face this entire time. Your story is seriously so heartwarming. Like, it's just so weird how, like, you kept running into these obstacles, and it was almost like every obstacle you would hit, like, you would get hit by the biggest good luck bus. Yes. On the planet, like,
yeah,
like you said about winning the lottery and stuff. And I hate talking about myself, or I'm kind of teared up actually. Yeah. your story seriously is amazing. But I hate talking about myself, but there's a lot of similarities to several things that you said. But one of the things is like just like what I said to you about kind of running into these obstacles, but yeah, being hit by the good luck bus. We struggled. Our first pregnancy ended in miscarriage, and then we struggled to get pregnant. But we did end up getting pregnant, but we were having a hard time staying pregnant.
Yeah.
I now have 6 children.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And so although it was a little, you know, rough, it just, my perseverance through everything kind of just like every now and again, we would just get hit by this huge bunch of like good luck, you know? Yeah. And like I had mentioned to you before our recording, like I have twins, and
yes,
there was so many similarities when you were talking about the twin pregnancies, and they were also born prematurely.
Oh, really?
In the NICU stay. And it just seriously like really hit home to me. And I think that's why I was like so kind of overwhelmed, like,
yeah,
with emotion, because like your story seriously just like touched me. And I know there's so many other people out there that are just gonna be like me and be sitting here with a smile on their face, a perma smile, yeah, because it's just so hard. And you like tell your story, I mean, like when you were talking about the birth mom and just like how much gratitude and like how grateful you are for everything that, yes, she's done, and how selfless, and just speaking like incredible things about her. I just, yeah, can't.
I mean, well, we actually named one of our twin girls after her, because we still are just like, we just have so much gratitude for her and what she's done, you know, for our family. Like, she gave us a child. I mean, I just, yeah. I mean, oh my goodness. Yeah. She's one of the most amazing people that I know, you know, and it's funny because we didn't, you know, we went to high school together. And so her brother and my brother were like best friends. They still are, you know, and so we were in kind of like the same, you know, world, but we weren't ever like super close or anything, you know? And so I feel like I know her so much better now. And looking back, you know, I'm like, oh my goodness. Like we just, you know, it's just funny. Like I never would have in a million years thought that we would be connected in this way, you know, but what I know about her now, like I'm just blown away by her heart. And I mean, so I, you know, and you know, and I think, you know, she was on your podcast earlier. And so now she's a surrogate. So she's, I think on her about to do her third surrogate pregnancy. And like the heart that you have for that is just astounding to me. And so I'm just like constantly just so thankful for her and just blown away by her love and her heart. Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah. So for everybody listening, spoiler alert here. if you haven't listened to episode 38, Adele, go and listen to that. She is actually the birth mother to Andrea's boy. So yes, they're connected, and just a very, very, very beautiful story. And her heart is seriously amazing. Yeah. Both of you guys have amazing stories, and I'm so honored that each of you reached out and wanted to share them with me, because they truly like have, like they are proof that there's still such like amazing people in this world, and you both are just wonderful. So.
Well, thank you so much for having me do this. You know, so Adele, she sent me a message and just let me know like that she was doing this podcast. And so I listened to her story, and there were pieces of it, like, especially, you know, since we adopted Donovan and she's been doing the surrogacy thing, you know, there's a piece of it that I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that. Like, you know, it's another one of those things, I think kind of like adoption, where, you know, you don't really know everything that goes into it until you're a part of it. You know, you kind of have this general idea of like, oh yeah, this is how adoption works, or this is how surrogacy works. But there's so many intricacies and ins and outs of it that was really interesting for me to hear. And so I thought, I was like, oh, I wonder if, you know, she would want to hear like the story from our perspective of it, you know, the side that we went through, kind of being on the other end of it, you know, having this like incredible opportunity just kind of fall out of the sky one day and just being like, you know, whirlwinded into this, you know, having a baby, you know, basically in 6 months. Like in 6 months, we went from having zero plans for having a baby to like, okay, now we're bringing home a newborn. Like it was just, yeah, it was just crazy.
Yeah. I was super stoked because she had mentioned to me that you had mentioned to her that maybe you wanted to share your story. And as soon as she told me, I was like, yes, 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 yes. Like I absolutely would love to hear the other side of the story. So yeah. I'm so happy that you did reach out. And yeah. I did have one question.
Sure.
Back to your twin pregnancy.
Yeah.
But when you were like having your blood draws and stuff, were your numbers high? Did they suspect that there might be two? I mean, obviously you knew that there was a possibility, but did they like think at all?
Yes. So my numbers were higher. So what I had to compare it to was the previous one. And so my numbers were higher. And so I was like, oh, does this mean that I might have twins? And they were like, well, I don't know, you know. And so because we had the miscarriage before, like I was like, okay, so maybe like the numbers were a little lower that time, and now they're just like more on the normal side, and like you can't really tell right away. And so it was like, you know, as we got closer to the ultrasound, like there was kind of that possibility in the back of my mind, but I just never really thought that it would happen, that I just kind of brushed it off. Like, it was almost like funny, like, uh-oh, my numbers are high. Maybe that means I'm going to have twins. But really in my mind, I was like, oh my gosh, maybe that means that one made it, you know, that it will actually stick, mm-hmm. you know? And so I just didn't really even think that we would end up having two babies, which, you know, it's as you know, being a twin mom, like, there's just no way to prepare for it. It's just an absolute, like, yeah it's crazy town.
Even when you, like, I mean, you can be prepared, like in your case, like, you knew that there was a possibility, but I think, like, twin pregnancies happen a lot of times to those people who are the ones that are like, no,
yeah,
that would never happen, like, yes! no because that's exactly how I actually thought I was having a miscarriage, and then we went in and they did the ultrasound, and as soon as they, like, because they have the big screen that was, like, right in front of us, and as soon as they started the ultrasound, I was like, oh my gosh, is that two? And yeah. I was like, there's no freaking way.
Yeah.
Like, my body, I had had five consecutive miscarriages them. And so, I mean, in my head, I was just thinking, and then I thought I was having another one.
Yeah.
And so when I saw two and they both had heartbeats, I was like, no way. Like, what? So yeah, it's definitely always a shock. I think you can always, like, try to, like, mentally prepare yourself, like, oh, of course there's always a chance, but, like, in no matter what, it always comes to a shock.
Yes.
It always is, like, a shock. And if it doesn't, like, kudos to you,
because right. Yeah.
my husband could barely speak on the drive home. He was just like, because they were our fourth and fifth baby.
Oh,
and
my
so
goodness.
I mean, it was a pretty big game changer for us.
Yeah.
And so they were just like, oh, it was such a crazy, but, like, it was such a blessing, but so crazy there. For it took a minute for it to kind of sink in for us to
definitely.
Be like, okay.
Well,
I just want to tell you again, I appreciate you so much for reaching out and sharing your amazing story. I cannot wait to share this with everybody else.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Yeah. Thank you for having me on your podcast. This is, like, fun. I've never done anything like this, so it's kind of fun to tell my story a little bit. And yeah, thank you.
Oh, no problem. Thank you so much.
Hey, y'all. That's all the time we have for this episode, but be sure to catch up on all of our episodes on your favorite podcast platform. If you or someone you know are interested in being a guest on our show, find us on Instagram at From Bumps to Birth, or you can message me, Ricky Hamley, on Facebook. Thank you so much for your support and listening, and until next time, I am your host, Ricky Hamley.